Hi everyone. I guess the first thing that I should say is that I'm so sorry that this took so long. I did not perceive myself having such a busy and eventful past. Gosh, it's been like 6 weeks or something. So yeah, I'm very sorry. No excuses. My bad. Next thing I should say is that it is so weird to just be like talking to you guys, like normal. I mean, not that I changed my voice for my audios or anything, but wow, this is very odd to not currently be aroused while speaking into a microphone. That's weird to me. All right, so I'm just gonna try and dive right on in here. I guess I should say little small disclaimer. I'm just gonna do questions and answers first of all. And try to get through this quickly because there's a good amount of them. Thank you guys so much for that, by the way. Thank you guys so much for asking me questions. I love being asked questions. So I thought this would be enjoyable for everyone. Another disclaimer is that I swear like a sailor. Even if these were all clean questions, which they are not all clean, this would definitely be a not safe for work audio. You will hear naughty words anyways. All right, so gosh, I don't even know where to start. I guess I'll start with the questions that were messaged to me, I guess. Okay, so question number one, let's dive in. I'm so excited, but like I am way more nervous to do this than anything else that I've ever done. Like, I don't even know why. Okay, so you've made infidelity themed audios before and mentioned being a housewife in your bio. My question is, does your significant other know? If they don't, does it turn you on to have strangers online get off to you while you already have someone? I would not do it if it did not turn me on, first of all. I think of it more as like, it's not so much that I get turned on that other people are getting off to me. I guess what turns me on is the fact that I have like a connection with everyone who gets off to me, if that makes sense. So I guess it validates my kink. That's what it really does. It validates my kink, and that is fucking hot. My significant other does know. My husband is well aware. I get very excited when I get sweet messages. I get very excited when I couldn't possibly keep it a secret, even if I wanted to, because I love doing it so much that I would walk around like floating from room to room like a little giggly little butterfly, and he would be like, okay, something's going on here. But yeah, he's well aware. I actually asked for permission before doing it. Yeah, because I thought that maybe he would freak out, but he seemed cool with it. He's well aware. Do you have to sneak to your own private cove to make time for it? My husband works a lot, so not usually, although I have recorded with him home and I just go to another room. And I don't even think he's aware that I record unless I tell him. I think I might have made like a really quiet ramble fap while he was home, and I think I mentioned in the ramble fap that he's home. So if I do have to sneak off, it's probably not for one of the scripted ones, like ones that I wrote that need like Foley and that need like me to be really in character or whatever. So generally, no, I don't have to sneak off. Do you have toys you often use, or is it mostly? And I love this. I'm so in love with this. Manual transmission. I'm never gonna get over how fucking amazing that is. I am a manual transmission type of gal. I have one dildo. one lone wolf dildo. It's not actually a wolf dildo. It's a glass. Maybe I'll show you guys one of these days. But it is a glass rose, and she's too pretty to use, honestly. She's so pretty. I love her very much. I guess, like, I invested in a really expensive, nice dildo, and now I look at other dildos and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm like, I've had the best. Why bother with the rest, right? It's the greatest dildo of all time. And I don't need other dildos. I'm good. I don't have any other sex toys, no vibrators or anything like that. That is all. Can you believe? I'm kinky, but I'm not, I don't have like a massive toy chest or anything. So yeah, manual transmission. Beautiful. Are you a squirter? Has it happened before? This is actually kind of a touchy subject for me. I am a squirter. I mean, it's not touchy like it made me upset. Like, this question didn't make me upset. I love the question. It's great. I am a squirter, but wow. Growing up as a squirter, like teenage years, you know, a guy, like the cute boy from second period is just trying to, like, you know, casually finger you under the table, and it's sweet and all that. And you're like trying to have these first experiences, but it's like having a puppy. Like, you gotta put down newspaper, you have to like plan ahead before because like it's a lot. It's very, it can be very like intense and like kind of like strong, and yeah, I feel like I couldn't have a lot of spontaneous sexual experiences as a youngin, but the good thing is, it's kind of like being an X-Men, you know what I mean? Like, I had to get trained, you know what I mean? I had to, like, train myself to kind of control it better, and now I can do it whenever I want. So, yeah, that's good. It's just like anything else, you know, when you're growing up, it's like anything else sexual. When you're growing up, it's really hard, and then you get the hang of it, and it's cool. I don't know if other girls are like that. I've never actually met another squirter before, ever. So yeah, I don't know if that's the situation for everyone, but yeah, I spent a good amount of time near the end of high school, beginning of college, that sort of era, just being like, okay, honey, like, we gotta get this under control or else it's just, everything's gonna be so messed up all the time. And by the way, like, guys say they like squirters, and they do. They like to watch. They don't enjoy the cleanup and the, like, you know, they don't actually, they like it, but, like, to a point. So that was kind of embarrassing. Very embarrassing. Next question. Favorite pie flavor, and why is it pecan? It is pecan, and the reason that it is pecan is because I make the best pecan pie that exists on planet Earth. Fight me. It is so good. I believe that if I made the recipe public, I could be a millionaire. Just saying. I could write a cookbook and it would just be my pecan pie recipe and I would be a millionaire. Next questions. Do you listen to audios by others? Yes, absolutely. All the time. If so, would you share one of your favorites? I don't really want to call people out, but I don't know if that, I don't really know what the etiquette is on that. Should I call people out? Should I? it this way. If you've got a foreign accent, foreign like out of America accent, and you make MDOM audios, and yeah, those are pretty much my only requirements. Not to say that I don't listen to any Americans. I do. I definitely do. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I listen to quite a few. I do have favorites. I don't know. Maybe let me think on it. I'll come back to that question if and only if I decide that I want to elaborate and call people out and embarrass myself. Would you be interested in performing a script someone else wrote for you? I get asked this a lot. I am not super interested in performing scripts at all. I think the sexy thing, and this is not to say that I don't listen to scripts or that I don't like scripts or that if you perform scripts, I don't listen to you or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like a personal thing. The reason that making audios is sexy to me is kind of like I said before, I get my own kinks validated, and that's kind of why I started doing it. One of the reasons why I started doing it anyways. So yeah, I'm not super, I mean, I've performed scripts as commissions, but I've never, I'm not super, super interested in doing it. Other than that, I guess I just think that it's sexier if I create something from my own brain and act it out or whatever it needs to, you know, whatever it needs, and then have massive orgasms. I guess that's what's sexy to me. And then I said, if so, what would most pique your interest? If I did perform a script, which I can't imagine that happening, it would have to be something very specific. It'd have to be something that maybe we wrote together that was just very specific to me, so that it would still be me acting it out, but maybe they wanted to write it for me. Because maybe it's a perspective that I don't know, or a kink that I'm not too familiar with, but I want to get into. It would have to be a very specific situation. Okay, next question. I'm literally just scrolling like on my computer, so it's going to take me a second. How did you discover DDLG, and why do you and what do you enjoy about it? So I guess this is like the whole BDSM thing. I guess I really enjoy, I guess I'm kind of like a what's the word I'm looking for? I'm sort of like an A-type personality. I'm very, I'm very high strung. And I think what I like, I just really enjoy it when someone else has control, because, your girl's tired, okay? Your girl is tired. I spend all day, every day, sort of, you know, in my head and just trying to control everything all the time, and I guess when I think of sex, I think of something that should be fun and relaxing and that you should just sink into, right? Like, you should just really want to be there so badly. And I don't want to control what happens during sex. That's it. That's how I feel. That's what I really enjoy about it, is that I like the idea of giving myself to someone else. Do whatever you want to do to me, because I'm done. I'm done thinking about what's going to happen to me. I want someone else to be responsible for me. If that makes sense. because I guess I get a little bit tired of adulting so hard all the time. And even when I'm not actively doing something, I'm writing about what I need to do. Like I'm, making lists and plans, and I'm very, very, I don't know, I'm just a, I guess I said it right the first time. I'm just very, very high strung and, A type personality, type of thing. So, yeah, that's what I enjoy about it. How did you get into making audios? This might be a long story, I don't know. I'm gonna try and shorten it up as much as I can. Oh God, where to start? Actually, oh God, where to start? Fuck, I'm gonna say we'll start with, I'll keep it light. I'll keep it light. So I discovered GWA, I'm sure as a lot of people did, through Literotica and Tumblr. And I was actually looking for accents. I was like, you know what? I'm so turned on by like foreign accents. There's gotta be, this has to exist, right? Just like, I don't even care if it's just like, people with accents just saying regular words. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It turns me on so much. And I think it's just because I'm very aurally stimulated, obviously. So, things that hit my ear a little bit different, even when people just have a different way of saying things, like a different vernacular or just a different sort of subsect of words that I myself do not hear very often. Because of where I live, because of my own vernacular. I don't know, it's just very sexy to me when someone says something, even if it's like a word or a phrase or a concept that I hear all the time, but they say it in their own way that like is maybe very specific to their region. I don't know, it's just like, I don't know, something about that is very sexy to me. I should have been a linguist. Of course, I'd be like sitting at a desk all day just absolutely going to town on myself. Shit. Yeah, if I was a linguist, I would just be soaking wet all the time. So, yeah, so that's how I got, that's how I found GWA. And I listened to masturbate, obviously, but I think I started noticing pretty early on that if I had listened to an audio before and I knew it was coming up, I could actually fall asleep to it. And that was a big deal for me because I was very sick at the time. Better now, better now. But I have an autoimmune disorder, and among many other things, it makes it very difficult to sleep. So when my brain sort of started associating certain people's voices with orgasms, I think that became sort of like then it started associating it with just like happy, good feelings, and I could listen to audios and actually feel relaxed and actually get sleep, which is so elusive once upon a time. Still sometimes, but mostly in the past. So the reason that I started making audios is actually because of that, because I don't think I have an interesting voice. I like interesting voices that are a little bit, I don't know, like I said, I like them that are very different from mine. So I think my own voice is very, very boring. But I was thinking, I really enjoy writing. I really enjoy voice acting. I did it in college and had a really good time, so maybe I should do this thing. And even if it's not sexy, like even if I'm bad at it, maybe someone will fall asleep to one of my audios and that will make me feel absolutely amazing. If I could just give back what I got from this whole community, then I can't even imagine anything better than that. Next question is, I'm very new with kinks, but I think I am very into DDLG. I'm a very shy girl and I'm afraid to feel awkward if I ever try it. If you have any IRL experience, what advice do you have? This is a great question, first of all. I don't even know where to even start with that one. It's a really good question. First of all, sex is messy. Literally and figuratively, sex is messy. So if you're nervous and awkward about trying something new, that's fine. It's not going to magically happen perfectly without either of you bumping your foreheads together or slipping on the kitchen floor because you're still wearing your socks and you have to stop to take your socks off. You know, like, it's... there's a lot to be... you know, you can be worried about little awkward things that happen. Or you can feel awkward about calling someone daddy or whatever. But it's not supposed to look like it does in the movies, I don't think. It's never going to be like that perfect fairy tale where nothing ever goes wrong. But that's what makes it fun, you know? I think that, like, if sex was the same all the time and no one ever made any mistakes or tried to lean in to, like, kiss you on the lips and then got your chin and then you moved and, like, kind of bumped their lip with your chin and just, you know, I think it would be pretty boring. So if you don't want to, there's a difference between like I think you should do this sort of thing with someone that you really trust for obvious reasons and someone that that you're okay having those awkward moments with, someone who can laugh at those things, because the first time you call someone daddy, it's awkward. Yeah, it's weird. And then you have to, like, get into it. If it continues to be awkward and weird and you don't know if you trust the person, I mean, you definitely feel if you're not supposed to be maybe doing it with them because they're not trustworthy or they take it too seriously. Because, like I said, it's supposed to be fun, I thought. I always thought sex was supposed to be fun. I think those are the two ingredients that you should start out with. Someone that you trust and someone who you can have fun with and laugh off those little things that happen so that, you can laugh at the awkwardness instead of it just sitting there in the air feeling awkward. So, I think that's the best. I never perceived in my entire life that anyone would ask me for advice on anything. I am clueless, but I think that's the best I can do. Next question. Someone else asked what got me started making audios, so that's kind of taken care of for the most part, I think. What would you say is your favorite audio that you've recorded thus far? I'm gonna say the Plushophile one because it was so much fun and I wrote that script. Usually I write the script and perform on the same day. But that one I wrote and I was so excited about it. I had to stop like literally a dozen times and while I was writing it and like go, you know, take care of business because I was so turned on by it. I was so excited to make it. And then I finished it. And then I didn't record it for a really, really, really long time because I was so nervous because, like, it's one of my favorite kinks. And I was excited to get it validated by other people, but I was afraid that maybe that would not happen, and that made me very scared. But yeah, I think that might be my favorite. Are there any kink scenarios, ideas that you would like to record but haven't had a chance to try out yet? kinks. I've been told that I need to that I should probably explore my dom side a little bit. There are some, I don't think I'm dommy at all, but there are some people who have pointed out to me things that I've said that I didn't realize that I said during like a ramble prep or something. And they were like, wow, that was hella dommy. And I'm like, I didn't even know. I didn't even realize that I even said that. So yeah, I guess I need to explore that a bit. Scenarios. I want to dive deeper into the religious thing. It's like another big kink for me that, what, I've only done like two? Yeah, well, I don't like two. That's like I'm way more into it than that. I feel like, the daddy stuff, I feel the same way about that too, actually. I feel like it's one of my biggest kinks, and I'm just sitting there like not saying daddy constantly, which is weird. Gosh, right now I've got at least two dozen ideas that I haven't fleshed out and recorded yet. God, there just isn't enough time in the day to do all the stuff, you guys. It's not enough. But yeah, I think I haven't done enough daddy stuff. I haven't done enough religious stuff. But if there's anything that I really, and like, I'll probably do more plushophile stuff too. Anything I haven't really dove into yet that I want to. I don't know. I feel like I've gone into so much. I'm thinking about like ramble faps and stuff where I've said things that maybe I didn't dive into it very deep, but I did like dip a toe in. I can't really think of anything. I know I haven't done it all. Like, I only have, like, 20 audios, but... Yeah, I think I just need to do more of the things that I really enjoy. Which person, living or not, do you wish you could have over for dinner? This is really a great question. I've never actually given this any serious thought. Have someone over for dinner. Gosh, it depends on what I want to talk about, I guess. Like, having a who do I want to have dinner conversation with? That's crazy to think about. Living or not. I guess maybe, I'm trying to think of like maybe like a favorite person in history or maybe a favorite musician or something. You know what? I'm gonna go with something that is so basic. It's just like I probably would be better off saying like a favorite singer or something, because I really enjoy music, or a favorite musician or something, but just someone that I'm gonna go with someone that's kind of, it's a pretty basic answer, but I feel like we don't know enough about this person and I have some questions, so I'm gonna go with Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, final answer. I'm gonna go with Edgar Allan Poe. I feel like we just don't have enough to go on with that guy. So, that would be a very fun and very morbid dinner. Like, that's a dinner that only I would enjoy because I have a dark sense of humor. And, yeah. Next question. If you were to create a subreddit, not a personal profile one, more like one with some sort of theme or specific content, what would you call it, and what would you like to see in it? This is an awesome question. I love it very much, but I do need coffee to answer it. Okay. I have two answers. The first answer is this probably already exists actually. Just like a writing subreddit would be cool, where like you just post any kind of writing you want, and just to receive like honest critiques and just I don't know, I thought that would be really fun, you know, like in class where you have to turn to your neighbor and like grade each other's papers or whatever. I always thought that was really enjoyable, because I am a nerd. So yeah, a nerdy writing subreddit would be so much fun, and we could probably talk about linguistics quite often and dialects. Yeah, that'd be cool. My second answer is something that I don't think exists yet. If it does, correct me if I'm wrong. If it does, you let me know, you point me in the direction. I would love a Foley subreddit, and the reason I want one is because I went to school for music and audio, and we had to do Foley for a lot, and sound effects and things like that. For they would just set up a random scene, and we would do the Foley for it. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. But the sound effects that we had to use that were like things we couldn't make ourselves, things that were like not Foley. So like gunshots, some of the areas where our classrooms were, you couldn't really get a good door slam. So like that was something that we would use like the CDs for, you know? It's like these sound effects that are on CDs and you just upload them into the into your project. So I really enjoyed doing all of that and lining it up, you know, right with the video feed that we had or whatever it was. So much fun. But one of my professors mentioned that, like, oh yeah, these are all like the stuff they use in Hollywood. Like, this is all of the CDs that we have are the same CDs that they have. They do Foley for things that you know, that need it, but all of the door slams, the gunshots, the crowds cheering, they're basically all the same. We're all working off of about you know, a couple hundred CDs worth of sound effects. And it's been that way for like a really long time. So I think my subreddit that I would really want to make is a Foley subreddit where you know, you could record the sound of like you dropping a dish, right? Like dropping a plate and it breaks, right? But it's never been recorded before. It's not the same dish breaking noise that we keep using over and over again in movies and TV shows and video games and shit. So, yeah, I thought it'd be really cool to have a sort of open area where you could go if you were a small time filmmaker or video game developer and you could get sounds that are new, are actually new and have never been heard before, and are not just the same recycled bullshit that we keep using. And it's funny because it doesn't seem like a big deal. And it's not a big deal because nobody notices. But now that I know it, it fucking bugs the shit out of me. I can't turn it off. I can't go to a movie and like I go to movies and I'm the annoying person that's like, oh yeah, that sound. It's the same sound in this other movie. And it's the same sound in this other movie. And the movie that we saw last week, same sound. Yeah, so I get very annoyed by it now. So those are my two subreddits that I would like to have or see someday. If somebody else makes them, I won't be sad. Okay, latest event to make you smile. to make you smile big. My very, very, very best friend in the whole wide world recently got engaged. It was crazy. We live far apart, and I've actually never met the guy, but I know some key things about him that make me so, so, so happy for her and so excited for her. Like, this is the kind of girl, she's like so incredibly sweet, deserves the absolute best, okay? Works hard, always does the right thing. She's just like the sweetest person, and I'm so in love with her. And God, the guys she dates. Oh, God. She's like, oh, yeah, we just lead different lifestyles, and that's okay, because we can, like, mesh our lives together, even though we're very different. We can still... No, girl. Mm-mm. There is a difference in lifestyle, and then there is, like, you know, this guy has serious issues, okay? Like, no. Like, you believing in monogamy and him not believing in monogamy is a reason you should not be with him. It's not you lead different lifestyles, girl. But she's so sweet. She doesn't see it that way. She wants to give everyone a chance. Anyways, so yes, I'm smiling right now. I am so happy to see her with someone who is actually capable of taking care of her and, you know, giving her what she deserves, and who knows, you should see the ring. I saw the ring and I was like, oh, he knows what my best friend deserves. Cool. We cool. So yeah, that was the last event to make me smile. What is an activity you love to do outside of making audios? I thought this was going to be a really difficult question because making audios is one of the things that I love to do most in the whole wide world. So I guess I was thinking about stuff that I love as much as that. Basically nothing. But then I realized that I'm like a buffet, you know what I mean? Like, I like a little bit of everything. Like I said, I majored in music, so I really love music. I spend most of my time listening to music. I was in animal rescue for a long time. I still like to do that on occasion, but the last time I rescued some animals, it was two dogs, and it almost ended my marriage. So I get very passionate, and passion can be dangerous if you do not keep your head on your shoulders. And I don't know if what I did was necessarily the right thing to do, but so I guess I really enjoy rescuing animals. I really enjoy just like, I don't know, a little bit of everything. I run my own business, and I really enjoy doing that. Obviously I love editing any kind of media, not just audios, but I learned how to edit videos and pictures and things like that. Learned a little photography and things like that in college, so any sort of media, any sort of art, drawing, oils, you know. I do love to sing. I didn't just do that for the audio. I really do love to sing. What else? Oh, and when I say I enjoy running a business, I don't just enjoy, like, making money and sales and things like that rolling in. Like, that's cool and all, but I love spreadsheets. I love filling notebooks with marketing ideas. I love doing my taxes. I know. Like, can she get any more nerdy? No, she cannot. I enjoy buying notebooks that are too pretty to ever actually write in and just having them on the bookshelf to look at when I'm sad. Yeah, so I don't know, I like a little bit of everything, but the things I love most are writing, performing, and editing. And making audios lets me do all of those things while also contribute to a community that has been such a really big, really important part of my life and essentially kind of saved my life. So that's pretty amazing that I can do all of that in one pretty little package. So yeah, next question. I'd really like to know what your recording process is. It's not too heavily complex. And then someone said, the geekier the details of your recording process, the better. Software, hardware, etc. Yes, so maybe it's because I don't know why my recording process is so basic. But I guess I'll start at the beginning. So, like, if I have an idea, it's usually just a few words, a bullet point in my phone or on my computer somewhere, usually suffices. And I guess I just sort of have this huge list of them all over the place, and I just expand on them as as my mind wanders to them. The multiple times a day when I find myself thinking about sex, because I work from home, that's what it is. Work from home, you get a little bored, staring into space after a while, and start to think, you know what? I'm gonna come 3 times before lunch today. That's gonna be my goal. It's dangerous. So yeah, I think I just have this huge list, and then when I find myself thinking about sex, as I often do, I go through them, expand on them if I can, maybe make up more of the story or whatever. And I usually sit there and do that for quite a while, which will usually, not all the time, not every time, but usually, send me masturbating. So I'll do that at least a few times a week. It hasn't been very consistent, obviously, lately because of the dang holidays. But yeah, usually I spend a good amount of time writing just because I enjoy it. But yeah, so I'll have these little bullet notes and these little bullet pointed notes and whatnot all over the place in person. Like in real life notebooks, on my computer, on my phone, all over the place. And I'll think like, oh, I had this idea, let me expand on it. Or I'll just go through them, just looking through them, thinking if there's any that I can combine into one bullet note so that I can make like one big audio about it. So yeah, I just spend a lot of time organizing them. And then eventually one of them gets long enough to where I'm like, you know what, this is basically almost done. Let me just finish this and record it today. And that's usually what happens. Like, I'll work on it for a little while. And then I guess I'll just choose a certain point where I'm like, I can finish this today. And I always, 99% of the time, I will finish the script and record same day. My ramble faps are sometimes I'll have just a bullet point, or like a couple little bullet points, and I'll be like, I'm just gonna ramble about this because I don't need anything else. And sometimes ramble faps are totally spontaneous. And I'm just laying in bed and home alone, and I'm just like, you know what? I have this very specific thing in my mind. I'm gonna just talk about it for a while. And then I'm not special. I record with like the iOS memo app, and then I just, if it needs editing, which they usually do need a little bit of editing, I will edit out cat meows and dog collar noises, things like that. So I'll edit stuff like that out in like GarageBand because it's easy and it's right there, and then I just upload it. It's nothing too special. I mean, having an actual setup with like a real microphone, which I think I do have somewhere around here, would be great. But I think convenience-wise, like setting everything up to where I could comfortably masturbate on my back the way I like, being myself, being comfortable, just doing my thing. Setting up an like a real sort of studio around that seems like logistics that I am not privy to. So I just haven't really set up anything that's too dorky, and too detailed or geeky or in depth, and I am sorry about that. It's just regular phone stuff. This next question is going to be a long one. What's your favorite song, and why that song out of all others? What sets it apart from the rest for you? Buckle in. It's been 47 minutes already, but buckle in because this is some intensity right here. Okay, so my favorite song is, actually do know it off the top of my head, but it's a little, I don't know, I guess I'm a little embarrassed by it. My favorite song ever is New Slang by The Shins. Now, like I said, I majored in music. I could probably give a million answers in every genre or whatever, but I'm just gonna give you guys my favorite song in general, and then I'm gonna give you my favorite song that is going to make you sad. So yeah, my favorite song in general is New Slang by The Shins. It's really great. It's really sad. Sad songs are my favorite genre. But what sets it apart is that I feel like it really culminates. I don't know what the song's actually about. I don't know what he was thinking when he wrote it, but I feel like it's like a big what if question, and that's something that we ask ourselves a lot when it comes to relationships or events that happen in our lives. What if I would have gotten together with that person, or what if I would have realized at the time that I shouldn't have broken up with this person? What would we be now? Or what if I never left home? Like what if I never left my hometown, or what if I did? All this stuff. Every time I listen to it, I just sort of hang my head, and it just really gets me all the time. This idea that you're so lonely, you're so sad, you're stuck in the past because you're wondering all these things. And every time the sun rises, you're like, yep, that's another day going by, whether I like it or not. It's just terrifying and unbearable. But the real reason that I love the song, the key reason that I love it is the refrain, "If you'd have took to me like a gull takes to the wind." And it sounds like, oh, if you would have loved me, or if you would have wanted to be with me. It sounds like it's referring to like getting together, starting a relationship or whatever, but a gull doesn't magically take to the wind. It has to be a little baby gull with no feathers, and it has to mature, go through all of these maturation stages, these like physical changes. And then when it does learn how to fly, it still doesn't magically happen. And when you watch a bird fly, it's not magically happening. The bird is making all of these little adjustments. So the lyric sounds like, oh, I wish you would have just taken to me. I wish we could have just been together. But what's kind of really beautiful is that it's really kind of saying, like, I wish we were mature enough to give each other space, to give each other that push and pull that we need to have as human beings in order to make compromises. And I feel like in a love song, a lot of things like that are sort of glossed over and kind of sugarcoated, you know? A love song is just about the love part in general. And I just really appreciate this really sad sort of love song that is about what love is really like. You know, accepting each other for who you are, making compromises, being mature enough to see the work that needs to be done and not just think that, like, oh, it should be easy. Maybe I'm reading too much into this song, but I mean, I think that's what art is there for, right? You're supposed to read into it and figure out what it means to you. So, yeah, I love that whole song, but that's the refrain is really what gets me every time. The next song I'll talk about is gonna make you sad if you know the song and if you or if you go listen to the song, which I highly suggest that you do. The whole point of this exercise is to get to know me, right? This next song is me. And I don't mean like, oh, it's so relatable. Like, no. I mean that it is a song about insomnia and the vicious cycle of self-medicating and being a pessimist, but like self-consciously sort of getting off on your pessimism in a way, and being stuck in the past and wanting these second and third chances at life, and wondering if you've peaked and if everything that you've been is everything you're ever going to be. And so, yeah, it is my favorite song because it makes me feel like I'm not absolutely bonkers. Although it might also be my favorite song because I was born at midnight and I've always been like a night owl, so I guess there's that aspect to it too. It's called Witching Hour, and the artist is The Ready Set, and yeah, it is. Just thinking about it, it's kind of bumming me out, which is a good sign because I enjoy negative feelings way more than I should. But yeah, it makes me feel like I'm maybe normal. But my favorite part is the self-medication thing. I think the line is, I'm taking medicine I know I shouldn't start and stop, thinking I'm better until my legs run out or whatever. And God, like I mentioned, I have a chronic illness, and man, that's how it is. You take medicine, the medicine makes you feel better, so you think that you can do things. You think that because you feel good, that means that you can now get out of bed, make breakfast, get dressed. But a spoonie's a spoonie, medication or not. So sometimes when you're feeling bad, you have to take the medicine, feel better, and still stay in bed. Or else you will ruin your body. And I do it, I'm gonna say twice a month. It is bad for you, and you should not do that. Take your medicine and then rest. Next question. Wow, it's almost been an hour. It's crazy. I said I was gonna quickly go through these. My bad. What are some of the challenges you think the next generation will face? Easy. Whatever we leave them with. There are so many problems, and so many of them are solvable. I think that we have the resources to solve a lot of the world's problems, but they're in the wrong hands. They're in the hands of people who don't think that they belong to everybody. They think that they just belong to a few worthy people. I think it's just greed and negligence that we need to sort of get rid of, and then we can leave the next generation with something nice, something that they'll be, things that they'll be able to deal with. Because technology, I think, will solve a lot of the problems of the future, but it can't solve the problems of not using that technology for good. Like, we have the logistical, like, this is just an example, like, we have the logistics and the infrastructure in a lot of first world countries to take care of, you know, hunger, for example. We have the logistics to deliver, to give food to everybody. But that doesn't happen because the people who have the food are negligent and greedy with it. And at least that's the way that, that's the way it is here, that's for sure. I don't know about other first world countries, but I definitely know a thing or two about America. So yeah, challenges that I think the next generation will face, whatever we don't fix, which I'm not hugely optimistic. So we're probably going to leave them with a lot of the same ones that we're facing now, plus any that technology, not technology necessarily, but what am I trying to say? We're going to leave them with all of the things that we're facing now, plus we're going to leave them with, like, technology and things like that are just going to keep getting better, while maybe a lot of the real life things will be getting worse. So we're only going to get more and more capable of feeding everyone, which is going to make it worse when not everyone is fed. And it's just going to make it feel worse, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I hope that makes sense. Next question. Well, I'm sure I could ask a million and one dirty questions. What foods would comprise your perfect dinner, including dessert? Now, like I said, I have an illness that makes eating not great. It makes eating more difficult. So let me explain. I can't eat anything that I did not make myself. And I can only eat certain food groups. So, food questions are hard. I appreciated the pecan pie question because I do make my own pecan pie. It's actually better than any pecan pie I've ever had. If you think I would not mention this twice, you were dead wrong. My perfect dinner. Okay, like, low key though, why does anyone even eat anything but breakfast food? First of all, I can have breakfast for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, and never bat a fucking eye. Never bat a fucking eye at it. Breakfast is the best dinner. But I will work within the confines of the question because I'm nice. I make a bitchin' pizza. I think I'm probably gonna have to go with that. Maybe it's because I just had it and it was so fucking amazing that I was just like, wow, am I a god? Am I a god in a mortal's body? Like, who made this fucking amazing, perfect pizza? What the shit? So yeah, I think I'm gonna say pizza for dinner and dessert. What do I make that's good? I make a really good flan. The secret is in the coconut milk. That's all I'll say. Is that it? Would I want anything on the flan? No, I think I like the Egyptian style flan with just honey. Yeah, I think that's Yeah, so I'm gonna say pizza for dinner, flan for dessert, in the confines of that question. But normally, probably have breakfast food. In this sense, in this situation, probably my favorite breakfast for dinner. I'll give you guys the question because I want to talk about it because I love breakfast food so much. So I'm gonna pretend somebody asked this question when they fucking didn't. So my favorite breakfast for dinner food would be I make a kind of hash with eggs and butternut squash, and you can add anything you want to it. You can add peppers or I wouldn't add tomatoes. What else would I add? You can add peppers, onions, potatoes if you wanted to. I can't have peppers or potatoes, so I just keep it light and just go with the butternut squash, the eggs, salt, pepper, cumin, and put some avocado on top. Mix that up. Shit. So it's so simple but so good. And you can add, like, what else can't I have? I can't have paprika. I can't have cayenne pepper, but you can totally go in that direction and make it a little spicy too. Yeah, so whatever. Oh, and I would keep dessert the same if this is breakfast for dinner, because I would just make some pancakes and put the or French toast, holy shit. Or I'd make some like peanut butter or like almond butter French toast. Probably peanut butter. Peanut butter French toast would be amazing. But like with the flan in between the layers of pancakes or French toast or whatever I end up doing. Whatever. Okay, we're moving on because now I'm talking about food. I'm getting hungry. Next question. Is this the last question? Y'all. I think this is the last question. Oh my God, we did it. We're here. All right. I get honey because you are sweet and delicious to listen to, and you always leave me all sticky. I love the way you guys ask questions. But I'm curious where vulture comes from. I really wanted a. I needed a little bit of courage in order to sort of do this whole thing. So I wanted to make a username. I put a lot of thought into it. I, like, for weeks before I actually made my first audio and made the account and everything, I was really thinking about it. At least maybe 2 months, maybe. So I really wanted something that would give me a little bit of a make me feel a little bit more confident. So I wanted to do something that had something in it that was a little bit intense, a little bit fierce, So I thought of adding some sort of like ferocious critter in my username, but I also didn't want it to sound too scary. And I eat a lot of honey in my day-to-day life. It's the only sweetener that is allowed on my medical diet. So, I end up using it in cooking, baking, put it in my coffee, all that type of thing. So honey seemed apt. It seemed to make sense for me. So then I needed to add something a little bit less sweet in there to kind of make me feel strong, like I don't know. I guess it's like when you like you're nervous to go on a date with someone or something like that. You don't wear your second favorite shirt, you know what I mean? You wear your favorite shirt. It makes you feel the best. So honey was good and it sounded sweet and sexy and that's what I wanted, but I also kind of wanted like this dichotomy to happen as well. So I think I was scrolling Twitter one day and I saw a picture of this bird and it looked fucking terrifying. And I was like, "Well, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to put that in my username. It was a bearded vulture, by the way. Please go look them up. They are the coolest motherfuckers of all time. They're vultures, but they don't eat rotting meat. They just eat the bones. And they swallow them whole. Like, whole goat femurs. Just going down their gullet. Oh, it's so cool. And just absolutely terrifying. And so every time I sign in, I feel like, you know, I don't know, I guess I get that extra little bit of confidence. And maybe that's so childish. Now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds very childish. But yeah, so I wanted to put my best foot forward. And that's where vulture comes from. It comes from the bearded vulture that picks up carcasses and drops them off of cliffs so that the bones break into tinier pieces. And when it doesn't break into tinier pieces, he says, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna eat that shit whole anyways. Watch me. And it's crazy. I can watch that for hours. Like, man. That's the most terrifying thing I think I've ever seen in my whole life. And they're beautiful. Like, they're beautiful birds. And we know very little about them, which is funny because they're like old world vultures, so they've been around for quite some time. They still have a lot of primitive behaviors and physiology left over from the before four times. Like they don't really make birds like that anymore. Anyways, so yeah, that's where vulture comes from. I'm one of those, I'm what you might call a researcher. Like, I saw that picture. I didn't just need to know what kind of bird that it was. I just read I read everything that I could about them. I looked at, like, zoos that had them all over the world. I looked at just everything. I just sort of absorb. I don't know why I do that, but my brain goes off on these tangents and I get down in these rabbit holes, and they're usually educational. But that doesn't mean that they don't take up a good amount of time. It's a blessing and a curse being a researcher. Yeah, that was the last question. Wow, it has been 1 hour and 7 minutes. If you listened to this whole thing, fuck. That's insane to me. I can't imagine anyone wanting to listen to me doing anything at all. And thank you all so much just for getting me to this point, because I only did the AMA because I got 10,000 listens on one of my audios, and that was all you guys. That's fucking insane and amazing, and it makes me happy, but it's also like, oh fuck, wow, like, that's is it real? Like, whenever I think about it, I have to pinch myself. You guys are so amazing. Thank you for sending me questions. Thank you for listening to my voice, whether I am masturbating or not. And I will see you all out there in the world, in the GWA wild. Bye.